Support for this public radio podcast is provided by Cleveland Clinic, expanding globally and committed every day to providing innovative treatments and hope to patients worldwide. Online at clevelandclinic.org. And by Constellation Energy, a global provider of fuels, power, and energy services, committed to environmentally sound, energy-efficient, and sustainable energy solutions. Constellation Energy, the way energy works.
Money for Refi.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. More help is on the way for people on the brink of losing their homes. This morning, the government said it's freeing up billions of dollars at Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac to allow people to refinance. The housing market could certainly use some of that. Mortgage rates fell last week, but apparently not enough. Refinancing was at its lowest level since December. Jeremy Hobson has more.
Bad mortgages started this financial crisis, and Tom LaMalfa of Wholesale Access says policymakers are hoping mortgage refinancing can help end it.
They want to see the market refinance out of the problems that it's confronted with today. They would like to see a lot of these hybrid arms and these pay option arms go away.
But Holden Lewis of Bankrate.com says lenders, worried about their own bottom lines, are hesitant to lower interest rates. And there's another barrier blocking a refinancing wave.
I think a lot of people are paying attention to the value of their home and hoping and waiting for that value to go up far enough for them to be able to refinance.
He says in some especially hard-hit places like Florida, he doesn't expect values to rebound for another 3 years. In Washington, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Wall Street had a huge rally after the Fed chopped interest rates again, but this morning, things are pretty calm. Stocks are still up. The Dow gained 45 points in early going to 12,438. The NASDAQ has added 9, and the S&P 500 is up 8. The European markets are pretty flat. Asia had 2.5% gains. What if, instead of paying per song, your iPod came with every song on iTunes? There are reports this morning that Apple is trying to work a deal with the music industry. We don't know how much they would charge for unlimited access, but in surveys, people have said they'd pay up to $100. Janet Babin has more from our innovations desk at North Carolina Public Radio.
The Financial Times reports that Apple wants to offer an iPod that comes with a music library. It would cost more, but buyers would no longer have to shell out 99 cents a song. The deal could increase Apple's market share. And with CD sales way down, a subscription model might be the shot in the arm the music industry needs. Or it might not. James McQuivey with Forrester Research says if people have total access, they'd be less interested in buying online music on the fly.
You're reducing the chance that you could actually drive people's purchases up. You're guaranteeing a certain purchase level they will never go beyond because they've already paid for it in their subscription. And that's actually not what the music industry should want right now.
Now that the record labels have finally embraced legal MP3 downloads, McQuivey says they should capitalize on the potential for internet impulse purchases. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
You're listening to The Morning Report for Wednesday, March 19th on Marketplace.org. Shares of Bear Stearns have shot up the last couple days. They're still only worth $6, but the J.P. Morgan deal is for $2. There are rumblings that some Bear stockholders really hate this deal and want another bidder, or at least a better offer from J.P. One British stockholder in particular is getting a lot of attention. We're joined by our man in London, Stephen Beard. Stephen, who is this investor?
Joe Lewis, nicknamed The Boxer for obvious reasons. He's a British-born but Bahamas-based billionaire. He's thought to own about 9% of Bear Stearns stock, and he's now thought to be sitting on a huge paper loss, perhaps as much as $1 billion. And he is obviously very unhappy about the J.P. Morgan rescue package, and he's reported to be trying to persuade other shareholders to oppose that deal.
how much power does Joe Lewis and these other shareholders have?
Well, they have the ability to vote against the deal. But then if the Fed says, oh, all right, then we're not going to support this deal, then they'd get nothing for their shares. The bank would collapse.
But how realistic is it that another bank will come in with a better offer or that JP Morgan will sweeten its bid?
Ultimately, it's down to the Fed. If the Fed withdraws its offer of $30 billion financing, then all deals are off. But Bear Stearns shareholders could bring some pressure to bear on JP Morgan. They could threaten litigation. Indeed, there are a number of lawsuits already outstanding. And the threat of very expensive litigation could perhaps pressure JP Morgan into improving its $2 a share offer a little bit, perhaps.
All right, Stephen Beard in London, thanks.
Okay, Scott.
Starbucks holds its annual shareholders meeting today. It's the first one since CEO Howard Schultz's return. He was gone from the job for 7 years. Starbucks has some issues now. Here's Lisa Napoli.
Since fast food joints got into the game of premium coffee, there's been trouble in the land of lattes.
When McDonald's and Dunkin' Donuts become your competitors, it brings you down to more into the commercial world. And their price really matters.
Beverage analyst Tom Perko says that's muddied Starbucks sales. Growth at the company has slowed to its worst pace in 2 years.
And you're charging someone $4 or $5 for a coffee drink. It suddenly dawns on you that you're going to have fewer customers because people can't afford to drive around quite as often. They don't have as much disposable income.
Which is why some analysts say today you might see Starbucks roll out a price reduction and a new buck-a-cup drip coffee. Another perk, a frequent latte card where you get freebies after buying a certain number of drinks. Already, Starbucks is giving away free internet access to loyal fiends of caffeine. In Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli for Marketplace.
This Sunday, thousands of Christian pilgrims will say their Easter prayers in Jerusalem. They come from all over the world to do this. But many more people will go there this year on the web. Orlie Halpern reports from Jerusalem.
Millions of Christians, Muslims, and Jews visit Jerusalem's Old City each year to pray in its churches, at the Dome of the Rock, and at the Wailing Wall. If you can't make that long and expensive trip, an Israeli high-tech expert, Avshalom Neumann, came up with a unique solution when visiting the Wailing Wall and watching someone pray.
After he finished prayer, he took out his cell phone from his pocket. He dialed his relatives in the States and told them, now you can pray.
That was the genesis of a telephonic prayer service.
We enabled people staying at home, saying the prayer, and prayer will be heard in their voice in any holy site they choose.
The company, called Pray Over Internet Protocol, set up webcams and speakers at 10 holy locations around the country. So if you have one of those new third-generation cellular phones that stream live audio and video, then you can get the holy site straight to your screen. And that's where the company makes its profits.
Till now, you got two kind of content. You got naked women's and games. We have something which is unique.
To promote its cellular phone live video service, the company offers two other services for free. You can visit their website and see the holy sites live, or dial a number in Israel and have your prayer recorded and transmitted to the holy site of your choice, and pay only the price of the call.
To the holy site of Jerusalem, please press 1. To the holy site of Safed, please press 2.
By the time the phone prayer is digitized and transmitted, it sounds like this. That's something that maybe only God could understand. For some, just the act of saying the prayer is what matters.
It was very strange doing a prayer, so I did the first time and then I changed it a few times.
That's Ron Buscala from New Jersey, who sent a prayer to the Wailing Wall.
My wife had a career change, so I gave a little extra so that her new career would be positive.
Neumann hopes to one day have a system set up at every holy site around the world. In Jerusalem, I'm Orlie Halpern for Marketplace.
Whether you call it a bailout or not, Fed is aggressively intervening in Wall Street's business, backing the Bear Stearns deal, assuming bad loans, slashing interest rates. Commentator Robert Reich has no problem with the Fed stepping in as long as it demands something in return.
Speculative bubbles have to burst one way or another. The Fed bailing out the big banks is like someone with a helium tank blowing more air into a leaky balloon. It only postpones the inevitable, which is the balloon will deflate and float back to Earth. How did we get here in the first place? Back in 2003, the Fed cut interest rates to 1% and made money so cheap, lenders were pushing out the door to anyone who could stand up straight. And until this speculative bubble finally and fully bursts, we won't be out of this mess. But for this to happen, Wall Street will have to face its real losses and write off another $100 billion or so. And homeowners across America will have to face their losses and watch the value of their homes drop another 10%, about where they were before the bubble. The danger is the burst comes so fast and furiously, everyone runs for the hills and takes their money with them, meaning runs on banks, massive housing foreclosures, and runs on the dollar. Fed bailouts can reduce these panics, one reason why the Fed was set up in the first place. But the Fed should demand from Wall Street banks two things in return. First, they become more transparent, pricing assets at their real market values and not hiding bad loans off their books. Nobody's going to trust Wall Street banks until they're squeaky clean. And secondly, that the big banks set up a lending window that temporarily subsidizes delinquent home mortgages, at least until mortgage rates drop to just above the federal funds rate. In other words, the goal shouldn't be to prevent or postpone the burst, but avoid overreactions in financial markets and excessive harm to individuals. And if the Fed is going to bail out the big banks, it's only fair that the big banks clean up their acts and also pay part of the damage their lax standards have caused.
Robert Reich was Labor Secretary under President Clinton. His latest book is called Super Capitalism. You can share your thoughts at marketplace.org. To find out what some people think about what's happened recently, we hit the street. More specifically, Wall Street.
Ed, I'm an investor. The country has just not eaten its vegetables in a very long time, and it's time we sat down and ate our vegetables instead of just passing out free money and lowering interest rates and manipulating the thing around. We just need to be a lot more disciplined because we are in a mess and heading for deep, deep doo-doo.
Eric. McNamee, I'm a stockbroker. I work right down the street, 44 Wall Street. The market's cheap right now. This is the time when you buy. Everybody's got to have a positive attitude about this. I always see people walking down the street all glum face. Oh, the market's down, the market's down. Who cares? It's a volatile market. Everybody can still make plenty of money.
Anna Krakus, I'm a student at NYU. I'm from Sweden, and the dollar is just so low right now. Well, since I get paid in U.S. dollars, I'm pretty broke. Whereas my friend who's visiting from Sweden is, you know, rich because the dollar is really low.
Some thoughts from Wall Street yesterday. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.